You're listening to Upfront. I'm Brian Edwards-Tiekert. We're going to turn now from the situation of migrants at the southern U.S. border, which we've been covering a lot, to the situation of migrants trying to get into Europe. There's been this backlash against people from South Asia and the Middle East who are following the overland route. Hungary has basically walled off its border. Neighboring Croatia has been turning more and more migrants around. And now there is a swelling population that is trapped in Bosnia-Herzegovina, a country whose entire national budget is about one-third less than that of San Francisco. Now, this has led to headline-grabbing situations like refugees being shunted into camps in areas with active landmines. We're joined now by Jelena Cesar, a researcher at Amnesty International who has been interviewing migrants in the Balkans. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Brian.
Let's start with the basics. Where are migrants coming from?
The original flow started around 2013, 2014, mostly as a result of the conflict in Syria, but also protracted hostilities in Iraq and Afghanistan. I would say majority of the migrants who are currently stranded in Bosnia are coming from Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Syria, and some countries of Northern Africa. So basically, you have a quite broad coverage, but it is mostly the people fleeing conflict, persecution, and in many cases, poverty as well.
So, like, what leads migrants to take the overland route as opposed to the routes through the Mediterranean that we've read a lot about?
Well, obviously, and as you're mentioning, you've been reading quite a lot about the Mediterranean route. At some point in time, perhaps until 2017, 2018, a vast majority of people coming from North Africa were crossing Mediterranean. People coming from Middle East, for them, it was somewhat easier to go from, for example, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Turkey, Greece, Bulgaria, and slowly entering into European Union. That route was definitely preferred route for people coming from Asia. People coming from Africa to this day continue taking the Mediterranean route, which remains perilous and in fact is even more perilous after European Union decided to basically stop boats, NGO boats and member state boats from saving migrants who were often drowning or stranded in sea. So this route has always been popular with certain type of migrants, as I said, particularly the ones coming from Middle East and Asia, for whom this was a little bit easier way to access Europe.
And how are they winding up in Bosnia in particular?
So this is many of these people have quite a long story. Many of them have left their countries 2 or even 3 years ago. As I said, the big push happened around 2014 and 15. At that particular time, I don't know whether you remember, but German Chancellor Angela Merkel famously called for open doors and called for greater openness in Europe and invited migrants to come to Germany. Many people indeed moved and were hoping to reach Germany, but very quickly thereafter, many countries of European Union, and particularly Hungary, who was basically doors to the European Union, erected a tall fence at the border, fence that I think even Trump would envy at this time. They also changed legislation, basically preventing anybody coming without paperwork or visas from entering Hungary. And at this particular time, only one person per day could legally be admitted to Hungary to have their asylum requests processed. That means Hungary practically choked off access to European Union, and that was around 2015. In 2016, many of the countries basically followed suit. Bulgaria, Austria, Slovenia, increased border patrols, started creating borders in places where there were no borders, given the European Union had a border-free system. And this practice basically forced people either to be stranded in countries such as Bulgaria and Serbia and many and Greece and Italy, many of whom were countries of first entry, either into European Union or at the doorstep of European Union. So you had a situation where you had tens of thousands of people stranded in Serbia after Hungary closed the border. Many of these people now started finding new route into European Union through Bosnia. Up until 2018, Bosnia was largely avoided by migrants. Bosnia is highly mountainous. It's not really passable. There are no, the road infrastructure and rail infrastructure, something that migrants often rely on heavily, was not really well developed. So many people opted to avoid the country altogether. However, in 2018, as all other access points to European Union closed off, many migrants started moving through Bosnia onwards to Croatia, which is the first country of entry for European Union. Obviously, this road is quite perilous, but most importantly, it results in huge violence and pushbacks and collective expulsions by Croatian police who are preventing people from coming in now.
Now, many of these migrants are asylum seekers. They're refugees. What are the legalities of Croatian forces ejecting them from the country?
Well, basically, you don't know who people are until the authorities examine each individual application to determine its merits. And that's the international law. What Croatia is doing at this time, apart from engaging in violence, which is illegal under any circumstances, they are also engaging in frequent pushbacks and collective expulsions. Both pushbacks and collective expulsions, which basically mean that Croatian authorities are summarily, automatically rejecting people, groups of people at the border, or catching them deep inside of Croatian territory, basically gathering them into groups and expelling them forcibly out of country without ever giving them an opportunity to file asylum applications. This is clearly against both the international law and European law, which require countries, especially member countries of the European Union, to examine each individual application to determine whether a person has grounds for filing an application or not. In this case, when countries automatically reject people, especially when they reject them in groups and forcibly remove them from their territory and send them to another country, they basically violate one of the key principles of the international law, which is called non-refoulement, which in simple terms means that countries need to do anything to avoid returning people to any country or any place where they could be at risk of torture or ill treatment, or if there is a risk that they would be further returned to another country, which is basically what's happening here. You have this chain pushback reaction across the Balkans. In many cases, people end up back in Afghanistan, Iraq, or countries of origin. And this practice is clearly illegal. Unfortunately, it is not something that Croatia is single-handedly guilty of. Many other European countries, as I said, Hungary has been infamous in putting in place draconian measures at its borders, violating European law very openly. And at the moment, European Union is actually initiating infringement proceedings against Hungary and its immigration laws and practice, saying that they violate European law and European values. And if Croatia continues doing the same, the chances are it will go in the direction of Hungary.
Well, can you describe like what the incentives are for Croatia? I'm guessing most of the Middle East migrants who enter Croatia are not looking to stay there permanently, but to push on to someplace like Germany. Like, what incentives does the Croatian government have to invest resources in expelling people?
Well, that's a really interesting question. But, you know, there are geopolitical factors that affect what is happening in Croatia. First, as you noted correctly, almost no one plans to stay in Croatia. Very few people have long-term plans or are trying to stay in Croatia. Croatia is also a small country. It's one of the new members of the European Union. Its economy is not strong enough. And many people are trying to join their families who are already in countries of Western Europe, primarily Germany and some of the Nordic countries and the UK. So most people are not planning to stay in Croatia. However, the problem is if Croatia lets people in, the borders between Croatia and the rest of the country's European Union are practically sealed shut. So if people come in, they will be stranded in Croatia. And Croatia is trying to do its best to avoid a situation in which it's going to have hundreds of thousands of people stranded in its own country. Up until 2017, when other European countries has still had borders open, there was this silent policy of open doors. So in 1 year, you had about 300,000 people passing through Croatia, but nobody was staying there. So that was not a Croatian problem. Now, Croatia really has an incentive in their mind to stop people from entering because they have no way of ensuring that these people are going to actually leave the country. Second reason why Croatia is also engaging in these quite robust measures at the border and practically violating the European law is because Croatia, although it's a member of European Union, it's not part of the so-called Schengen border zone. And Schengen brings many countries of the European Union into a free border zone. And Croatia is hoping to access the free border zone in 2020 and is trying to demonstrate that it's able and capable and willing to protect the external borders of the European Union. And this in itself is a problem because the European Union, who is judging Croatia's ability to access this club of states, really should be doing a lot more to ensure that Croatia is not violating European law while protecting the external borders.
So that leaves migrants from the Middle East and South Asia stuck in Bosnia instead of stuck in Croatia. What are conditions for them like there?
And that's correct. And basically what happens with all of these countries, it's a domino effect. Each time a country closes its border and starts engaging in pushbacks and collective expulsions, you have a situation where the country at the border is suffering a lot. And people are basically stranded in these hopeless and squalid camps. This is now the case in Bosnia. Bosnia, as you might know, is a country that's still reeling from a devastating conflict which took place in the 1990s. It's a highly politically dysfunctional country with three layers of authority. It's one of the poorest countries in Europe, and it's the country that is still has a devastated economy as a result of that war. So basically, Bosnia is not doing very well, even by the standards of its own population. And now you have circumstances in which about 10,000 people are stranded in two small towns in Bosnia, Bihać and Velika Kladuša. Those two towns are at the border of Croatia. Those are very small towns, and you have a huge number of people who are there in hope to be able to one day cross into Croatia and ultimately reach European Union, reach safety, and be able to seek international protection in the countries of Western European Union. At the moment, about 5,500 people, so half of the people who are currently in Bosnia, are accommodated in these makeshift camps, which are placed in former defunct factories. So they're not even planned for accommodation of people. The conditions in these camps are pretty dreadful. Hygiene level is pretty low. People are sleeping in tents or containers, 10 or 20 of them. Hot water is not readily available. Food is also pretty inconsistent. But most importantly, there is really no hope. These people cannot go backwards and they cannot go forwards. And we fear, and this is what Amnesty has already warned back in March when we wrote a big report on the situation in Croatia and in Bosnia, that as the weather improves, Bosnia is going to experience major humanitarian crisis with so many people entering the country, not being able to leave, and the country not being able to provide even basic necessities for a dignified life of an accommodation of the people who are currently stuck there.
Of the migrants that you interviewed, who stands out most in your memories?
I think there was a migrant who fell into a river trying to cross between Croatia and Slovenia. And as he was practically drowning in this river, he turned around and he saw police officers on both sides of the river ridiculing him and making fun of him. And while he was basically scrambling for air, they refused to do anything. And when he spoke with me, he was just the disappointment and pain that he expressed was something that really stuck with me. And he said, you know, I think these people would have jumped into the water to save an animal, but not another human being, which just told him that these police officers have dehumanized these people who are crossing the borders to the degree that they cannot even engage in this basic act of some fundamental humanity. And I think this is happening a lot. There was a recent case in Bosnia where one of the migrants was hit by a car right outside of one of the camps. And he was basically hit by a car. He was probably killed instantly, but his friends who were there tried to stop other vehicles. Nobody wanted to stop. Then they went back to the camp and they asked the guards to call the ambulance. They ignored them. And basically the ambulance showed up some hour later. The man who was hit unfortunately died. But again, the way these people feel, all of these people have already left terrible circumstances, often left wars or persecution or terrible poverty where their family did not have absolutely any hope for a future. And yet they're driven by this hope for a better life. And the fact that they're being repeatedly treated worse than animals, I think is really disappointing, not only for them, but I think for all of us living in Europe.
And I want to return to kind of the role of the European Union in all of this. It seems almost schizophrenic to talk about one arm of European government being on the brink of sanctioning Croatia for its treatment of migrants, while there's an implicit message being sent to Croatia that it has to harden its border and eject more migrants if it wants to be admitted into the Schengen zone, the zone you referenced where you don't need passports to move between countries.
That's correct. And Croatia is in a sort of a paradoxical situation in this case. On one hand, for years, European Union officials were asking Croatia to basically beef up its border security. They have invested over 100 million euros into Croatia to help the country and the authorities to strengthen border security, pay police and border patrols, put in place various security measures, both physical and others. So on one hand, they were asking Croatia to protect the external borders and to demonstrate that they're able and capable and deserving of joining the Schengen zone. On the other hand, European Union always insists that Croatia and any other member states has to patrol its borders and manage migration in line with both international and European laws. Unfortunately, in the case of Croatia, the role of European Union has not always been equivocal. They remained quite silent throughout 2018 when there were numerous reports of pushbacks, of actual deaths at the border. There was a situation where a seven-year-old girl was killed when she and her family were pushed back from Croatian border back to Serbia in the middle of the night. And this is not an isolated case. Up close to 20 people have died so far on these borders. So there are so many reports, both by credible organizations, by NGOs, by activists, and by media, that this violence is a daily occurrence at the Croatian border. However, because Croatian authorities have never conceded that this is happening, they have never admitted a single case of police transgression, and they continue to deny so, that this violence is happening or that anything that's happening at the border is illegal, European Union found itself also in a situation where they do not want publicly to call out Croatia for all of these violations. There's also another factor here. I don't know how much you follow in the U.S., but European Union is going through a major crisis. Not only are they dealing with Brexit, which is now becoming more and more imminent, but they also have to deal with a number of other countries within the EU, including Hungary and Poland, who have been quite intransigent and who seem to be slipping into this state of what they call illiberal democracies, which are all very contrary to the European values.
They both have right-wing nationalist authoritarian governments.
That's correct. And basically you have a situation where rule of law is completely eroding, independent judiciary is being threatened in both of these countries. And the European Union is trying to deal with this crisis that has enveloped the entire Union. You also have a major resurgence of right-wing parties at European Parliament after European elections, which took place last month. So EU has a lot to deal with and is not really capable or willing now to call out individual countries. However, to our understanding, because we do a lot of advocacy with the European Union as well, especially following publication of these type of reports, we do know that European Union has taken seriously all of these allegations and the reports. They have asked Croatia to improve monitoring, but we certainly will continue calling on European Union to take action, because if it doesn't take action, European Union is practically complicit in all this violence and violations that are taking place at European Union borders, not only by not doing anything about it, but also by funneling more and more funds to Croatia, which go directly to pay police forces and border police, all of which are engaged in these serious violations.
All right. Well, Jelena Cezar, that's all the time we have. I want to thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Jelena Cezar is a Balkan researcher at Amnesty International. She's been interviewing migrants who, in the past couple of years, have started collecting in Bosnia-Herzegovina because they've been shunted away from a newly fortified border in Hungary and turned back by police forces in Croatia.
That does it for today's show. Upfront airs weekday mornings at 7 a.m. We post information about our topics and our guests online at kpfa.org, where you can also dig through our archives, subscribe to the show as a podcast, and connect to us on social media.
If you want to sound off about something you heard or suggest something for us to cover or someone for us to interview, send an email to upfront@kpfa.org.
A big thanks to everyone who makes the show happen. Producers Corinne Smith, engineers Kirsten Thomas, hosts Brian Edwards-Teeker, Kat Brooks, and Janine Etter. Interns are Justin Goll, Casey Rupke, and Elizabeth Soule. Also, thanks to Mitch Jezrich and Eileen Alfandari.
Stay up and stay tuned. Democracy Now! Is coming your way in just about 2 minutes at 9 o'clock.